Welcome to Because I Want to Know, the podcast where I interview guests about their crazy unique occupations or life experiences. I'm your host, Leslie Fear. So let's get into it, shall we? Hey everyone, today I'm joined with Rodney Reeder, and he is a near-death experiencer, and I cannot wait to get his take on what happened with him. So Rodney, thank you so much for joining me.
You're so very much welcome. Thanks for having me aboard.
I tell you what, your story, you know, I found you on Jeff Mara's podcast on YouTube, and I was mesmerized by your story because I tell you, it's different to get a male's perspective, you know, because you would think it wouldn't be as...
feeling, yeah. The letting go of the male tough ego, I can rule all too.
I know, and that's what I was saying. I was like, you know, and I don't mean it in a bad way or anything like that. It's just so interesting to me. So tell me what happened, and we'll just go from there.
All right. Well, you know, I've had some interesting times in my life, from being an Alaskan guide to working on tugboats, working for coming with the Cabela's, and then to get into this arrangement where I was actually working on tugboats, and then I was put to the shore side waiting for another hitch. And so I became a longshoreman and was doing that for a month. You know, and I remember the day, you know, it was just super hot, warm, just a normal day working. So I was, at the time, we were loading these barges just south of Seattle, and we got finished the barge, and then this was brought up again, and we started on our fifth level. So these are about 4 feet wide at the most, and so I was already up about 20-plus some feet working. Wow. But my job that day was to be on the shore side of things, but we were, unfortunately were down two workers that day, so I had extra duties, supposedly. My job was to wrap up the piling to the crane, okay, rig it, and then my job was to run along it and tug on this thing to help guide this gigantic piece of metal across the sky and then lower it down on the barge. But since we were down two bodies, they called me up to come up to the stack. And so I climbed up the ladder, went up on top, set this thing down. And I remember looking at my watch because I remember, okay, it's about 1 o'clock. Right. I got onto the rungs of the ladder. And if you ever been on the end of the table, maybe a Thanksgiving dinner or a Christmas dinner, and someone bumped the table and you get pushed off?
Yeah,
well, that's what happened to me. So me and the steel ladder separated from the stack.
Oh,
so
my
we're
gosh.
All of a sudden, instead of being angled over a little bit, all of a sudden I'm vertical with the steel ladder.
Oh, no.
And then you're going, oh my goodness. And then you start going, everything started to slow down.
Wow.
I mean, you know, things are speeding up, by the way, but everything is so slow. You're absorbed in so much in the moment. I could feel literally my hands slightly going over the dusty grit on top of these steel pilings, but the smoothness of it at the same time, I could not get a grip. And you could feel that, just the slow action of your hands sliding on the side and the slight panic in behind going, I cannot hold, I cannot grab.
Right.
And then the twisting of the ladder starts to turn, and then you start facing down towards that steel floor of that barge,
and, it's a
and you're
steel
going
floor.
Down,
oh,
down, and then you're the word is coming, you know,
yeah, yeah,
like to it, and then gone, pop, I was pulled out of my body.
Oh my god, so it was a pop, really?
Yeah,
oh
yeah, so like, and all of a sudden, I'm in. If you can imagine, like I tell people, if you can, like as we were kids at night, we'd snuggle into our like a sleeping bag, you go down to the very bottom, it was nice and warm and comfortable down there.
Yeah,
that's what it was like. You're just a consciousness, no body, just a consciousness. So I was in that void that people talk about, the darkness. Well, hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to see you again.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it was, you know.
Well, let me ask you this, Rodney. So when you fell, and you know, of course, it was traumatic, but it sounds like you didn't have to feel the pain of falling and hitting yourself because you hit that steel floor on that barge, and then you popped out. So I don't even know if that was a decision you made or just that's how it happened.
Actually, my body collapsing onto the steel ladder as it struck the steel barge.
Oh,
so it was a double whammy.
Oh, my gosh. So you're there. You're now surrounded in this dark, like, warm blanket. And oh, my gosh. So did you know you weren't in your body? Did you understand that? Were you confused?
I didn't care. It was just more of just a calm. It was
really?
Not a worry in my mind. There was not a thought of, oh, am I dead? There was not a worry of what's next. It was just a presence. You're just there.
When I was listening to your interview with Jeff, you said, you know, I wasn't even worried about like my family or my body or if I was even dead. I was just so in love with that love feeling. I was so enamored with it. It didn't matter.
Yep. You're just at a peace. You're just, again, at peace with all. And then that's when the light showed up, just like a lightning strike. I mean, all of a sudden there was like a tear in the night and it just opened up and it's like you just, you know, calm sensation. Okay, we're going through.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
Lo and behold, you know, you come through on the light side, and here I am in the middle of a tree grove, a tight tree grove on a gravel path, you know, walking, just like an incident, just like everything flowed, and
yeah.
You're there, and you're now walking through this tree grove, and, you know, it felt Earth-like, but not Earth, but again, I eventually walked out onto a mountain ledge, so I literally was on a side of a mountain somewhere.
Really?
Yeah, and then came out onto this mountain ledge, and I'm also an old hang glider pilot, so to me, I'm used to being on a ledge at times, so,
yeah.
But it was different to come out on this ledge, and I'm overlooking this mountain meadow, just gorgeous, vivid greens, and, you know, all the colors, just like best sights you've seen of being in the mountains, that's what it was like, but down below was the nice greenery, you know, and the white cap mountains above, but there was three levels, and on the lower level, up to my left, was just thousands of beings.
Oh, wow.
And if anyone's ever watched the music video from Disturbed of The Sound of Silence.
Yes, I have.
Well, that's basically my NDE, because you'll see where there people were writing and talking about the music and stuff, for those were the thousands of people that I was seeing down below on my left.
Wow, that is incredible. So, keep going.
And that thing gave me chills after I saw that video. I mean, it just absolutely freaked me out, because you'll see as we go into this how that relates more and more, but just keep that in mind.
Yeah, okay.
So then I'd see all these beings down below, and some of them were fighting each other, some were doing combat, some were doing other things, but they were all down there.
Really?
Yep. And then, you know, I thought some was like almost Viking-ish types. Other people were, you know, just beings. Some were people doing other things, but they're just everywhere down there.
Rodney, let me ask you something. Do you think, now this is just, I'm kind of woo. I go woo sometimes on my podcast. Do you think you were looking at different timelines all at one time?
What I get the feeling now and what I've been seeing is more of what's coming through the future.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well,
okay.
You know, it's just like right now, again, more people are waking up. And again, these are different connections to different things. And you know, a lot of things are seem to be speeding up. And again, a lot of this, the weird thing is through this, a lot of things have manifested afterwards.
Okay.
Okay. Stuff. So I will lead into that. So the next part, I look over and more towards the middle to me, just below to the right, is this second level with the most gorgeous rectangle golden portal. You may, some people might call it a, again, here's the brain bleed part I have, that it's a Stargate, and it's
right.
Gorgeous, and you just see the light on it, like, it attracted me, and like, okay, but it's the backdrop was the mountains right behind this thing, and this thing had to be, you know, 50, 60 feet tall, it's just huge.
Wow. Okay.
And it's gorgeous, but then, up on my right side was, do you know when I say the word etherical?
Yes.
So there was an etherical Greek building up on my right, but it was gemmed and gems of all sorts, bright, shiny all around. But again, it looked like the Parthenon.
Yes.
Of Greek modes. And since this NDE, I have come across a few others who have talked about seeing these Greek buildings.
Yes.
And also in some literature of others.
Yes.
And so it's like, okay. You know, so I see this part. That's some people call it the halls of knowledge or the, you know, ancient library of wisdom or whatever that was stored stuff there. But so I saw these three parts. And then I started to feel myself gliding down into this grass field.
Mm.
Some people call it, you know, the Elysium fields or fields of Elysium, whatever. Just the greenest of grasses you can imagine. Just beautiful long grasses. It wasn't, I would say, a garden type, but it was just a grass field that aligned along the sides.
Okay.
And as I laid down there, I started feeling like a recharge. And into the grass, seeing the individual cells moving around in the grass at a microcellular level.
Really?
I mean, just watch all the inner workings of it. Yep.
Wow. Do you think you were kind of like one with them? Like,
become one with everything. Again, you just felt that oneness. And then, you know, when you talk about the oneness, you talk about the light again, where the light around you, the best way to describe it is like a liquid love. It coats you. It has texture. It has weight. And at the same time, I was feeling like I was being recharged, almost like if you see the movie the Highlander, the quickening. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I was sort of like. It's just like I was either being recharged to come back, or I was given the extra strength to, you know, what I had to go through for my next part of this journey. But I was just laying there just in peace, just absorbing this in. But I felt like, you can almost imagine like an eyeball for a second, where it's just, you're just, you know, one consciousness, one big eyeball, and you're, again, being coated by gelatin wrapping around you. That's what it was like.
Wow. So, okay, let me ask you this. When you were there, did you feel your body, or did you know your body wasn't with you? It was just a consciousness. Did you know that?
Consciousness. Okay. There was nobody. Normally when I speak or do things, my hands come in front of me. Okay. I always speak with my hands. Okay. I didn't see my hands.
Okay. You know, and another thing about the Parthenon, you know, to me that gives it credence, because no one could know that. You know, I know that other people have said it before, but I don't think you looked into near-death experiences before you had one. I don't think you even really thought about it probably much before you had one.
In that hot, sweaty day out there in the dust on the blacktop, you know, as we're loading these things, there was no, you know, this ain't La La Land where you're just creating the stuff and just dreaming until the next piling came across that you had to load up and rig, you know. You just, but then, again, there's no time. You're just in sense of awe. You're just there. I mean, in sheer bliss. I mean, absolute bliss. You can feel it coming out of your heart. Was just like pouring out, where you're just the calmest, most sensual time that you ever had here on this earth, times, you know, a thousand or more. I can't describe, just blissful moments of just there. But then I started to feel, I was like, why am I here? What, I don't feel like I should be here.
Really?
Type, like an awakening part. And then through the field, if you can imagine almost like how it snaked across into the field, or you watch the fog in the early morning come across a field.
Yeah.
I had a silver mist starting to slowly approach towards me.
Okay.
And then out of the mist, just like as you've seen probably in that movie video, where you also see all these beings of people came out of this mist around those two band members in that video. Well, same thing here. All of a sudden, out of the mist came these most magnificent beings, these light beings of sheer brilliance. I mean, you cannot even see, no face structure. It was so brilliant, light. Again, they're the most bluish white light.
Okay.
They were human form, but they're more spindly.
Oh, wow. Okay.
If anyone's seen the movie The Knowing, which I get all the stuff I saw after the fact, this whole thing. So I saw the movie, and also it's like, that's them. At the very end, these beings turn into like angelic, light being angel bodies. You know, it's pretty cool at the end of the movie. So if you want to see sort of what they look like, watch the movie The Knowing.
Okay.
And which is another freaky part, because it's a knowing. It's just parts of that movie freaked out because of all these things are happening to humanity and all the changes in life at the end, because they're leaving that earth to go to a better place.
Yeah.
Well, so that's another freaky part. But then, you know, all of a sudden they surrounded me, and I don't know how long I talked with them or dealt with them. I know I was communicating with them, but there's nothing that came back through the NDE in this part.
Okay.
But then it was like I was placed in this tube. And if you ever hear of that rainbow that connects heaven to earth, or the Rosenstein Bridge that people talk about with a wormhole type deal, well, I was placed into that, just like in the Marvel movie Thor. If you've ever seen that, where he's going through this tunnel or tube, you know, like it's called through, I was in that. I was placed in, and what felt like feet first, because I was looking up at these beings, and then I was shot down, just like in a slide where zoom, you're sent down into this wormhole, and you're twisting, you're turning, you're all over the place, and I'm still looking up, and I'm seeing this being, the tallest of them all, you know, looking at me still, and it was just a, you know, super connection with them. I don't know what they are. They're the Elohim. Some people call them the ancients that I've met before, or the shiny ones.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to a few other, actually contact with a few other NDEers, claim to see the same thing, and that's what they taught us. They're the ancients. These are the ancient ones beyond you know, time.
Yeah.
But then as I'm going down, twisting, turning this up, all of a sudden, again, I'm just consciousness, not a body, but I'm looking at the way. But the weird thing is, it felt like what would be my right eye, well, half the side of me decided to close up and got dark. But the left side could still barely see that being going down. And then I felt the pain. Oh, God, the pain. Oh, my God. It's how it came into, and it was terrorizing. It was painful. I mean, you go from sheer bliss, absolute amazement, to all of a sudden this incredible pain that just, oh, it just hurt. I mean, you could feel it all running. I was like crying inside, going, oh, what's going on? And then I fused. And it's not where you wake up and you you just get on the day, you're like, wow, that's a cool dream.
Yeah.
You actually, I thought where you go from one thing, or two bodies, or your, I don't know how you call it, your casual body or whatever part,
right.
You just
body,
view
yeah.
in, mm-hmm. yep, into the physical body. And I call it, you know, I got slammed into my meat suit.
Yeah.
And the heaviness of that suit was just so much, because before you were so light, you were nothing. You were free to being locked into this gravity, this weight, and then, yes, the pain. But as I slowly opened, like, my left eye, because I did not have a right eye at the time.
Oh, no.
You know, I was just slowly opening up, and then I could see them. You know, I had all these faces around me. I was laying on the wood floor of the office, which I had been moved. I found out from a friend there that they had brought a loader over and put my body in the loader brought me over.
Oh my God.
And they laid me on the floor, because to them, I was dead. I had no pulse. I was nothing. I was dead.
Wow.
And so, again, I had no medical things where they awakened me or anything else. I came back without medical assistance.
Wow.
So now, lo and behold, again, there was no 911 called. There was no ambulance called.
Well, they thought you were dead. They were freaking out that I was alive. Yeah.
They thought I was dead.
Oh my gosh, Rodney. I was going to backtrack. One thing, you know how, like you said, all these movies you saw afterward, you know what I mean? You're like, it was so cool that you saw on some of these movies after you had this near-death experience. Oh my gosh, they know what I'm talking about. This is almost exactly how it was when I was there, and this is how it looked, and this is how it felt. And it's almost like we have soul memory, don't you think? Like, we've all been there before. We just have amnesia here. So it's almost like, because I wrote a book series called Graveyard Watchmen, and it was about angels and demons. And the angels had these light beings in them, and they were counselors, and they would go through these tunnels. And it was just, you know what I mean? And they were like different level tunnels. They weren't like a tunnel you go through when you're on a train. It was like another dimension. So, and it's almost like we have soul memory with this kind of stuff, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, like, I'm sure a lot of your listeners do the same thing. You're going to go back and they're going to pull up, you know, again, the Sound of Silence with Disturbed, you know, see these things. Because literally, someone, whoever came up with that theme or how they did that video, had to have some near-death experience or something. And I even heard that David Drennan, who's the singer of this, had something like that, where he had a sickness or something happened to him. And so that was part of what created this deal. So I was like, wow. I'm like, okay. You know, and I get the back chills. To me, and those back chills mean, you know, it's like a confirmation. Like, okay,
Absolutely. This
happened.
Okay, so you're on the floor. They did not call 911. They did not call. Yeah, and no. So tell me what happened after that.
So then, you know, they came to. So then they quickly grabbed me and picked me up. Now, I had extreme pain that happened on my left shoulder. I'm like, oh, my God. You know, it's like, oh, like pain.
Yeah.
But I was druggy at the same time. So it was like an inner screaming. And they picked me up, and then they put me into a car, and the manager drove me to a local hospital. Now, I had blood pouring out of my nose, blood pouring out of my ear.
Oh.
You know, of course, I couldn't see out of my right eye. Didn't know what was happening with my right eye part, but all I could see was my left. And as I was in the vehicle, right as we got loaded up and as he was coming around, I happened to look at my watch, and it was 1:35.
Oh, wow. So 35 minutes had gone by.
35 minutes, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's like, how long has it gone? Because, you know, I just like, wow, I'm here. But, you know, everyone, again, I later talked to a friend of mine who had worked there and described some things to me. He said it was his worst day he could ever imagine. You know, he didn't want to say much because it's just, you know, so it was like embarrassed of what happened to me. Because we go through all this training and all these things of what to do, and none of that happened for me.
Yeah.
You know, for what you're supposed to do. But then, you know, all the stuff later, just, you know, it's like a whirlwind. I'm picked up and I'm thrown away.
Well, yeah.
And so then, you know, I'm brought up to the hospital.
And Rodney, and if 35 minutes goes by, you're not getting oxygen in your brain. Your body is starting to...
Exactly. That's what a lot of people think about. So did you like have pools of blood? And I said, no, I didn't have any real pools of blood around me that I know of. I mean, I was later brought up there that, you know, they're all worried about my face. My face was just, you know, 3/4 of my face was broken. So they immediately, when I walked in, I didn't even get the courtesy of getting to being dropped in at the ER. I walked in from the parking lot.
Oh my gosh.
And it was brought in, and then I sat in a chair, and I remember the manager throwing, you know, like
you
probably the insurance card or something to the people. And then they all rushed and grabbed me and started doing their work on me.
Wow. You walked in?
Yeah. And I don't know that I probably had broken ribs as well. I mean, you can imagine, my body impacted that ladder as it struck the steel bar. So I had the ladder imprinted on me. So both my shoulders took the rungs of the vertical rungs of that ladder. And I've got very broad shoulders.
Yeah.
And so both of them were injured that way, and the pain on both sides, but all through my legs, all the way down, were same thing, were imprinted. So like my wallet, and I had a hard case inside my pocket that was struck as well. So that was pressed into my legs. So I had all that pain and damage to the muscles and stuff. So basically, again, I died by blunt force trauma.
Yeah, well, you sent me the pictures, and I, to my listeners, guys, I don't even know how he was awake, let alone trying to, walking into an ER and sitting down waiting for them. I don't even understand how that happened.
Yeah. So to the one hospital, they did all their initial scans on me, and then I had a major brain bleed, so they ambulanced me to the major hospital in Seattle. Harborview. And unfortunately, this night, the same day, was like a full moon event because all the rooms were full. So I got a little partition area in the side of this little corner medical area is where they stored me. So I was there, you know, they never called my emergency contacts. I happened to call the nurse and say, hey, I need you to contact my fiance. We have two girls together. And so they never called her. So thank goodness. The one time she never answers her phone. But that day she answered, and I was able to give her a few key words that she knew was me. And then the nurse took over to say, hey, this is what happened to me. And so, but there that night, another woman was brought in. Her husband, unfortunately, had beat her with a baseball bat to her face. And she was screaming and crying. They tried to calm her down because they were concerned about me. They told her, there is a guy next to you that's 10 times worse. And, you know, so I'm listening on this going, great. You know, I had all these doctor teams coming through and checking on me. I had one doctor come in and said, man, you're a badass. You're not crying. You're not doing this. You're just holding this part. But it's like, how do you tell them through all this pain, all this, you know, I had, if they can describe the pain, imagine every tooth in your mouth going off with the most hardest toothache you've ever had, every single tooth going off at the same time. And then for hours dealing with that pain, the throbbing. And I, but the doctor was like, how are you not taking so much pain medication?
Right.
And I kept telling him, I'm connected to that source.
Yes. When you
I
said
was
you're
still connected to that light where
yes.
I was absorbing the pain.
You're connected to that love you said on Jeff's podcast. And I was just chills when you said that, because you were still connected to them. And I think you always will be now in a whole different way than you ever were.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So that was my evening later. You know, again, went through that whole night, and, you know, eventually they did release me, and then they had facial surgery. So I went through that. I went through the facial surgery, and even there, unfortunately, when you do facial surgery stuff, it's, again, a lot of plastic surgeon stuff, but they deal with a lot of burn victims. And unfortunately, as much as my pain for my whole face was reconstructed, I also had an infection come through that happens with the burn victims, because somehow something wasn't cleaned or anything else. And so I got an infection in my face that normally a burn victim would have. So I felt the puffiness working up towards my eyes and the stuff again. And they had to rebuild my whole socket of my right eye. I have 5 plates of titanium in my face. They had to go through my right eye, and they actually had to cut open underneath my lip and insert the plates through underneath my lip and my eye socket. So you're going through this stuff in life, and you come out of this, you know, situation, and now you're at home, you're in a recliner, you know, your whole life changed instantly.
Yes.
I've got my mouth is wired. I mean, I've got a wire mesh in my mouth, holding my mouth together. You know, so I'm sucking down broth every day. So your life dramatically changes. But, you know, through this whole process, it was just weird because, again, you started watching these movies or things would start happening over these last 5 years. Again, because it's been 5 years since this accident.
Right, yeah.
But these things started to manifest. And, again, where I had to feel like I had to do something. I worked with some crystals and stuff before this, but not overextent. But I got this compulsion. And so it's like I got into watching, you know, YouTubes and like organites, which, again, if people aren't familiar, it's where you take crystals and resin and you put them in together, and lots of unique energies start to developing as these crystals are compressed. There's a like quartz, like for watches, for example, it creates an electrical field or effect.
Right.
And these energies work. And then, so I said, I have to make these things.
Yeah.
And most people start out making pyramids and, you know, basic stuff. Oh, no, not me. No. I started out with skulls, with dragon heads. Yeah. And then I eventually got into making pyramids.
Wow.
So, but working with energy, I was craving working with energy. I had to stop wearing my watch because I burned up my watches.
Yeah.
I can hold on to a brand new cell phone and I will suck it dry within about 3 hours.
Wow.
So this morning I make sure I charged it before I talk with you.
Yeah.
right? You know, so all these things, again, you get in your lights. And so you start hearing about and reading these things where this happens to a lot of individuals, but the energy levels, you affect people. Like when you can go into a room, you know, people just turn and look at you like you become a magnet.
Yeah.
And you're just attracting people and you're doing stuff. But I worked with a lot of these things for healing stuff. And, you know, there was a time where I did that. I had to do it. I destroyed my bank account. But I felt I had to do this. I had to give back to people. I had to make these things. And, you know, my fiance is certainly, boy, what's going on with this guy? He's a weirdo.
Yeah.
But, you know, but I had to happen. And she saw all the people calling me and, you know, and just thanking me for all these things and how their life changed, how a lot of these things create some instant healings in ways. So, I've got stories upon stories of that part. So, it's you know, you're seeing there's a reason for this. So, 6 months later goes by and I happen to go to the doctor and said, no, can I? And I told him, hey, can I lay down? I want to get out of recline. I want to get back to my bed.
Yeah.
And they said, yeah, you can lay down. So, that evening I finally got into my bed after 6 months, oh joy. And as I lay down, my left pectoral major rolls up like a fruit roll up into my neck.
Oh.
So the next morning I come in, I have PT and I go to my physical therapist and say, hey, watch this. And as I lay down, you just see her eyes go, oh my God. You know, she's freaking out. She starts calling the doctors and said, you need to schedule an emergency. There's something wrong. And so I got scheduled and they scheduled there. So yeah, my left pectoral major for 6 months had been severed and cut away from my shoulder.
They were so worried about your face that
pain level kept it down. But that's what happened. So they had to do emergency surgery on that part. Then I had a year later after that, I had shoulder surgery. Now here's some funny parts. Now here's how you see like all of a sudden you're guided in. So one thing is, first of all, I need to find an attorney. You know, for this whole deal. And I was searching all these phone calls and to no avail because I didn't realize how specialized this was in this dealing.
Right.
Well, lo and behold, out of the blue, my fiance's aunt calls me. She works for a lawyer who does the semen stuff, which was what I was. But at the time, I wasn't a longshoreman. So her attorney could not help. But his roommate was the attorney who does this for longshoremen.
Oh, wow.
So I was led to, but here's one thing is about 3 weeks before I was looking through all these attorneys and I saw this attorney about the stuff about this one law firm, how they do this and how they were the top firm and they were, you know, they were super attorneys for the stuff. And I was like, really? I was like, wow. But I found that he had retired or mostly retired. So I was like, oh, darn it.
Yeah.
But you know, 3 weeks later, lo and behold, this attorney is one of the partners in that law firm. So I'm like, okay. So I was led to, and I later find out, yes, he's the top attorney for this in this area, in the region, in the Northwest region.
Wow.
It's like, holy cow. So I was guided to him. Now, the next part. So I've been doing all this physical therapy up north, but they wanted me to do stuff closer, of course, for travel time. And I didn't like traveling all the way up to Seattle. So they gave me a list of places to check for physical therapy. And so I went through to the first place in the morning where they should have been open. It was a nice midday week. Went there. No one was there. I'm like, wow, this is a weird feeling. I just got this weird feeling.
Uh-oh.
So I went up several blocks away, up by where my daughter was born, was the next place. And I get up in here, and lo and behold, everything works out amazing. Great greeting. Uh-oh. Went in there, talked with the doctor. They have a specialized pool, a warm pool that I was able to work, get in there with, and that way I was able to help slowly release my arm from my body because it was locked away. But here's the funny part. I have a very interesting last name. It's Reuters from Germany, but it's not a very known name.
Right.
Most people want to call me Reiter versus Reuter, by the way.
Right.
So, and most of my family that is from this area is from Midwest.
Okay.
The name of the buildings was Reuter Building 1, Reuter Building 2.
What?
Yes. Lo and behold, they are my relatives from Germany, and their son, who manages the building, is the same age as I am, in our mid-30s, upper 30s, and we look exactly the same.
What?
So all this again, so again, I am being led down a path. And as you see, you start freaking out because you see how things are connected.
Yes.
And it's like, it was a confirmation again, said, I am in God's hands. I am being held through this.
Absolutely.
Just keep going forward.
Okay. Oh my gosh. I'm blown away. I didn't hear this part. I don't think you talked about this on Jeff's podcast.
That's the thing. There's sort of certain things will channel my mind so I can remember stuff. But so this is, I'm trying to go in more detail here. So not just through the near death part, but now you're seeing things in the physical world being led. So now as we're going into that part and that understanding, I am going to take you now into like when I started reading some books and I started getting into, I was going through still at the dark part of my soul. Again, this was a tough time. This was the darkness where I'm going through all this pain still. I'm going through all these surgeries. I had 9 root canals in a month.
Oh, and Rodney, I do think I've heard other near-death experiencers say, listen, I was in a depression. I didn't want to be here. I was in so much pain. I wanted to go back. Yeah. And as much as you loved your family and your fiance and all that, it didn't matter to you up there. You know what I mean? So, and I've heard that so many times, and I'm going to let you finish, but I have to ask you one thing real quick. Did this change you religiously, spiritually? Did this change you at all?
You know, you don't think of it much more that way. I was born and raised Catholic. I was a altar boy. I, you know, did all my time for volunteering and helping out with the church when I was young. I felt like I always a need to decree and call, you know, like be like a priest, but I was led down other paths. I mean, I can say, you know, how I, one thing to another led me through my whole life. And now as I look back, I see how I was led to this point,
right.
Literally just like how it flowed. I mean, effortlessly.
Yes.
For example, I left, you know, being a guide for 7 years in Alaska. You know, I've had brown bear charges. I've had 12 brown bear charges, 4 moose charges. I'm still hearing kicking. I've had moose almost club me as they're charging me into the water as I'm trying to push the boat out.
Wow.
You know, so I can tell you of other experiences. I've had many other near-death things. I can tell you also one about, actually before this event, I was flying a hang glider in a thunderstorm a thunderstorm overdeveloped. It was a big fly-in that day, and there were 6 of us up, and this cloud happened to get resucked into this area and overdeveloped and became a thunderstorm. I'm flying up to 7,000 feet plus, and clouds suck as I'm trying to dive and being sucked up into the storm.
Wow.
And I'm praying to God, let me go, you know, free me and just everything, doing my Hail Marys, my Our Fathers, and just, you know, everything a good little Catholic boy does.
Yeah.
And I was released. It was the weirdest thing, but it was like annoying, and it was just a direction. All of a sudden, I was released, and I flew away and got pushed down by the downdrafts, but I landed into this gigantic stump field, and anyone knows from the Pacific Northwest, we got these gigantic Douglas firs, that these things are like miniature redwoods.
Yes.
So, and I'm landing amongst all these stumps, and I landed on my 2 feet, you know, boom. And then I was later picked up and brought back to the landing zone. And I looked over where the storm had gone, and there's this most beautiful, vibrant double rainbow I've ever seen. It was like a sign, like this was meant to be. You know, it's like, whoa.
Yeah, so I can see how it changed you spiritually, though. I mean, I can see how, you know, like you said, I don't know if you feel that way about it now or if it made you even more spiritual.
Well, it makes me more of a knowing that there's powers around us that are actually working. It doesn't have to be in a religion because, unfortunately, with most of my job stuff, I couldn't go to church all the time because I was in the nature.
Right.
I got to see life and death every day. I took life every day.
Yeah.
You know, when I chopped how many fish up and I saw bears, you know, taking moose out and moose calves right in front of me. I saw wolves taking and killing things right in front of me, letting go and just kept on running.
Wow.
You know, I've seen life and death.
Yeah.
And I understand that part. So it's, to me, it was just, you know, you're in the great scheme of things, but I didn't go to work today thinking that all this was going to happen, you know, and it's changed my life. But there's now more of a knowing. And when you see all these things happening, when you take a second, because again, through all this pain and suffering, you know, what was going to get me out of this? What was getting me out of this? You know, through the darkness, you will see the light. But I had to feel that pain. I had to feel the suffering. I had to feel a change, a metamorphosis of some form, go through this. And pain did bring forth change.
Yes.
You know, I started finding ways of how to get myself daily out of it. I mean, I was a 2-pack-a-day smoker at times. I didn't drink. I stopped drinking. But it's where, you know, there was other ways of, like, I had to get out of this stress. So just because anyone who's been through, okay, this COVID deal for the last year or so and a half, you know, like, oh, my God, my whole life changed. Well, I've been stuck for 5 years like this.
Yeah,
Yeah. I've been wrapped up in a little life where I don't get to go very far. I mean, I was either going to my physical therapy stuff or I was doing my walks, trying to relearn to walk. Right. And I had to go through speech therapy and learn how to try and do stuff with my brain, how to work with this brain bleed. Because, you know, I have to use my phone a lot just to say something. Or like if you say a key word, I have to get someone to say 3-4 words before I can. Oh, that's it. You know, that's the word I'm looking for. Because you just have to retrain your whole body.
Yeah. Do you think, Rodney, that you gained any abilities through this?
Well, it's where a lot of people, they talk about that healing part where, again, I definitely have more conception where I can see things sort of ahead of time, more premonitions,
really?
You know, stuff like that we're working on through. I affect people when I come into a room. I mean, I can either make people absolutely love me or I can have some people tear their demons and want to come on and fight me.
Oh, really?
You know, it's just like, wow. It's like your light, again, you become a magnet. And when I started going into this, I found out about the I am affirmations. You know, I just was having to look at my phone. Like I said, I keep getting directed to certain things. So I went on my phone and I said, okay, I am affirmations. I mean, anything to be positive. So I'd say, I am love, I am happiness, I am truth, I am light.
Right.
And gradually over time, by doing those affirmations, that darkness started to recede very quickly. But the funny thing is then I found myself, okay, I need to spread my word, or I need to tell people more about my NDE.
Absolutely, because I tell you, when you come here and when anybody is brave enough to talk about it, and I think more people are now, because I think you're right, there's been an awakening or whatever we want to call it. And I do think it helps people, because to me, I am in no way wanting to go anytime soon. But I'm telling you, I have so much to look forward to from what you guys tell me. I mean, I have absolutely nothing to be afraid of. And I have everything to look forward to, seeing people that are gone and or just maybe even coming back and doing it all over again, because I am a believer in reincarnation. So, and I think you do gain abilities. You know, at least the people that I have talked to, either they kind of had some already or they gained even more or they got some, right? And then now that you're working with crystals, and I'm totally going to put all your information up so my listeners can look you up, because I tell you, the crystals you're talking about and the things that you can do with them, they sound fascinating.
Oh, yeah. But I'm going to tell you what I found out and through those affirmations. So I did this. I made my own YouTube video of my NDE.
Yeah.
And now I know it's been sold by 17,000 people on that one. But
wow.
The one I just did with Jeff, I mean, that's already at 20-some thousand or 26,000 views.
Right.
It's like, wow. But the thing was the comment. I was getting comments from people. And all of a sudden, I got a comment from this one woman who called me up. And she was told to watch my video. And several things that I said clicked up her, because she's also an NDer.
Oh, wow.
Happened. So she then told me about, again, the I am
really?
Teachings. Well, again, this is if people are into Saint Germain or have heard of Saint Germain, this goes into the I Am teachings where he's brought forth to the world of how do you, because a lot of people who are in some spiritual stuff have heard about the I Am, where those are two words that if you use, whatever you use, you become. People research
wow.
that. And
okay.
So these teachings talk about how this, with working with Saint Germain, how you use the I Am, which basically states that we are our own individualized flame piece of God. Or whatever.
That
so you
sense.
And you learn that there's
yeah.
that God, when people talk about your intuition, that's your I am presence within you. And if you ever say your name, wherever you point, a lot of people point to the dead center of their chest. That's where it attaches to your body physically.
Wow.
So I got into this stuff and she started explaining some things, which made click off about my NDE. And I'm like, wait a second here. There's something, there's a connection here. So I dove into it. And I've been over a year and a half into this,
yeah.
But here's the funny thing is in these teachings, in these books, talks about the reincarnations, talks about all these things, a lot of the spiritual stuff together, but they talked about, and this is not in just one author, but a couple authors have talked about these Greek etheric buildings
yes.
in the sky over certain parts of the world.
Yes.
And I'm freaking out because they all describe me as Greek, like the Parthenon, this stuff here. And I'm going, how in the hell do you know this stuff?
I know.
It's like, wow. But it's like, dang. And so it's like almost, again, confirmation going,
yes.
Okay, I need to read all more of this. These other people know something that I know only by me dying.
Yes.
How do they know this stuff?
It makes it more real.
So I dove into more and more.
It makes it more real.
Oh, yeah. And it totally anchors you into, okay, this is where I have to dive down there. So I've, you know, gone into this part and where you work with yourself and again from the healing aspects of it, and if you go into these books where people are drawn to it, I can provide you the information, but through this more healing came into my body. The light started coming back into my body, the recharting, I also, through this ordeal, I had developed diabetes because I, again, wasn't moving around very much. Right. I was not doing the things, and I went up to 300 some pounds.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I am now today down to 220 some pounds. I'm now pre-diabetic. I have been shown how to bring the light back into my body through taking the right vitamins and certain things that I was, again, getting pushed, directed to.
Right.
That my doctor, who is the head of medical, is still freaking out going, how am I coming back to normal?
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I swear those crystals are a big, huge thing. But also, I do think you're still connected and they're giving you guides or guidance and teaching you how to do it.
That's where when you go with the crystals, again, I still work with the crystals very much, especially amethyst, which is big with Saint Germain because of the violet flame. And like recently, I kept seeing this slice of amethyst that you, they're like amethyst stalactites where they slice them up and real thin. They look like dazzling suns or stars of violet.
Yeah.
And I kept seeing the thing. And lo and behold, right at my birthday, there was a big crystal show in town. So I went to there and lo and behold, I found this one little crystal dealer and here he had these amethyst discs. And I was like, oh my God, that's what I've been seeing.
Wow.
And it's like, okay. So the funny thing is, the one that I was drawn to had the Holy Trinity. There's three special flames on the piece that holds the chain on this thing. And I'm getting the back chills like crazy. Like, oh, my goodness. Like, okay, this is the one. So I pick it up from the dealer. I go out to my car. I unwrapped it. I held it. And I had this happen one other time. I felt this crystal radiation like dissolve in me. I felt like a disc dissolved and went into my body.
Oh, my God.
Because I've had another amethyst piece. It's called Thunder. It's a piece of Thunder Bay amethyst. It's some people call it Oral Light 21 or 23. It's a very powerful piece. And my friend who owns a crystal shop, he handed that piece to me. It brought me to my knees. I dropped when I felt that piece. And I felt the same thing with this one. And again, they're both purple. They're both, and a lot of it's also, you know, violet purple. It's like, okay, so there's more of a thing here, again, with that Saint Germain part. And I start people talking about the violet flame and how that heals and works with people. So I started doing a lot more of this. And again, my light in my body has come back. The life came back in where I started making these organites again for people. But at the end, I got to tell people I have stopped making them due to the fact that as the last several pieces that I was making, I started developing nosebleeds every time I started making them.
Oh, my God.
The life source of my body, I was fusing so much of my life force into these pieces. That's what I believe these people were having such miraculous thing is my energies were put into these pieces, absorbed in. So now what I had to do is I was depleted. And that's where my body was sort of having all these health issues again because I was depleting myself. I didn't realize it was this life force. But through these IM teachings and through working, being directed here, I was shown a way to bring forth back my life force. And thus now being pre-diabetic by my blood pressure's back to normal. Everything's just here. My weight loss. You know, I lost basically almost 100 pounds off my body. You know, they're like, how are you doing this? How are you coming through? It's like, I've been directed.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you. And I'm going to back up real quick because I have another question that I've been wanting to ask you. You know, when you were on the other side during your near-death experience and you said you looked down and you saw all these battles going on and these people below, you kind of think it might be from the future. Can you talk to me a little bit more about that?
Well, it's just like right now, the way I look at things, and as I've seen it was 5 years ago, again, there's an awakening. Some people are battling each other. There's a lot of stuff, again, with the COVID deal and stuff like this, where some people, like I'm the one not going for the jab. I was protected from all this. If I look at this way, this accident has been a blessing of my life. Mm-hmm. I was actually saved through this.
Yeah.
Because I was in like a cocoon. Everything that's been going around this world, all this hate, all these angers of people, the fighting, the battling within each other, I was given, and again, I'll take another step back here, I was given a sanctuary. When I was on ship coming down, this happened a month and a half before the accident. I was going down the Oregon coast on a tugboat, taking logs from Canada down to Oregon. And I got the call from my fiance saying we are losing our apartment. We're paying so low that they had to raise the rent and stuff like this to this much. And couldn't afford it. So just suddenly in that tugboat, I remember in those waves, I was dealing with about 10 to 15 foot waves at the time, and just being rocked and rolled. But I just closed up and again sent out a prayer to God, or, you know, I didn't know if it was a decree or a prayer, that things will work out. And I've done this before, and things have magically happened. And lo and behold, within 2 days of losing our place, my fiance found the most amazing places that it's surrounded by a green belt. It has a storage unit, sort of like a barn thing that we could put all our stuff in. It worked out where I could have gardens, and I was able to place. I actually went on and started a couple, three gardens with stuff. And so it was like it was brought ahead of time for my preparation for this accident. Because if I had to go through what I went through, I would not have survived. No. But I was given nature.
I have
hummingbirds that hang around me. I have stuff that, you know, before you wouldn't have had. And just things, again, another preparation were set up for this adventure. You know, I was set up for this time when all these changes was going to happen. There was a lot of awakenings. There was a lot of people that things were going to start taking place. Mm-hmm. And I was shown that I was being prepared. Again, none of these Native, if you go into Native lore, I was on the ledge of death.
Wow.
If you read some of their folklore, where you're looking over the life and you're seeing your future presence of what's happening, what's going on here. And to me, being on a ledge is not a bad thing, because, again, I'm used to flying off. I'm used to taking off and flying with the eagles.
Yeah.
And I prayed a long time ago to make God make me an eagle. I also have a private pilot's license as well as this part. Unfortunately, I probably won't be able to fly ever again. But, you know, I was able to see this change. And I relate this back to being an eagle, because God has always been, I'm an Eagle Scout. I know I've flown with the Eagles. I've fished with them in Alaska. You know, I have all these things. And I remember that an Eagle, they can soar to the highest of heights, but at one period of time, maybe 10 or 12 years, or I forget how long, 20 years in their life, they will come back and they will have to do a special hard molt where they have to release all their feathers and regrow. And so it's a challenging time. Many don't survive it. But if they go through it, they'll live for another 20, 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And so it's almost like like this here, where I am going to that part where this is where I am. This is my molting stage. The old rod, the life the rod had before, was gone, or it still was a part of me. But now I can see where I'm going from there, and I will soar once again in other ways.
Right.
And so, you know, you're taking this from, you know, a person. I've done so many creative things. I've been blessed so much. I've had an amazing life before this. I mean, after leaving the lodge, after 7 years of enjoying that life, you know, I had another dream job where I started on the floor as a basic $9 an hour person to within 6 years working for the number three man of the company, working on special projects, you know. And then I went back to Wisconsin, which was my home state, to get in with this company. 10 months later, I am back out to Washington State as a sales manager, then to a senior manager. So it's like, wow, this happened for a reason. I'm not taking this as a negative thing, and that's what people are going to look at in their life.
Right.
The thing that most wanted to destroy you may actually be the thing that saves you.
No, and that's exactly what I was going to say, because you're right. I think it prepared you. And honestly, I've listened to Jeff's podcast enough times with other male NDEs, and for some reason, I was like, I want to talk to Rodney. I don't know why I wanted to talk to you. And I've talked to several, you know, near-death experiencers, and I was drawn to you. And you tell me that other people are too. There's just something about you. I thought my listeners would love you, and I know they will. And I just think that you're fantastic. I think you're so enlightening, and you're so positive, even though you had some of the most tragic things happen in your life. And not a lot of people come at it like that. You know, not a lot of people think that way and think, hey, listen, I had some really crappy things happen to me, but look at me now. I mean, that takes a special person.
I've had friends, and I've had friends come and go, and they say they do. And they come. One friend, I mean, we were like brothers to me for years.
Yeah.
And he said, you're one of those that just, you can go into hell and come out, you know, shining bright. Something happens to me, I will always come out better. I will go into the shitter, and I will come out smelling like roses.
Yeah.
You know? And this is where... But it's like it happens. Like you're one of the blessed ones. You are one of the chosen. You know, people keep saying to me, you're chosen, blessed. Now I'll take another step back. So I talked about with Saint Germain stuff. Well, I through this healing again, I started getting into where with the gardens. You know, I want to take care of stuff, and I got into reading about composting worms.
Yeah.
So I went in. So I'm like, I found them. Okay, where do I find these worms? Do I order them online? And then I happened to find a worm farm that wasn't about 30 miles away from me. So I drove down to it. And I went down this place, like I had to go. I found it, found the place, and I get in, and I deal with this gentleman, very unique, beautiful-looking gentleman. I was like, wow, okay, he looks good.
Yeah.
And they were helping me, and there was another older guy at the desk, and he went back and got some worms and brought to me, and we just started talking to himself. He's like, "You died." And I'm like, "Yeah, like this." Like, you know, like, "Yeah." And then we started talking about more and more stuff. And then he came up, he came around the counter, came up to me, put his hand and put it on my shoulder, the one that was injured before, is like, "You're still connected."
Wow.
So when I talk about, there's in these books about the I Am teachings, I've seen the etherical picture of Saint Germain. Wow. That was Saint Germain.
Oh, wow. That. Oh, my God. Well, you don't need any more proof that, you know, God is here and he is helping us in every way and every synchronicity we can have. And hey, Ronnie, I could talk to you for hours, but I want to tell my listeners where they can find you. Do you have a website for your crystals?
I stopped again making them now, but I can help if people are still drawn to them, you know, because I'd say a lot of it, most of the power that comes from us is from our I Am, which is within us directly. Okay. And I'll send you, after this, I'll give you both information that you can post up on there.
Okay.
But I'll give you, it's Rod, R-O-D, mm-hmm. period, reader, that's R-I-E-D-E-R,
okay.
at yahoo.com.
Okay.
And you can email me. I can get inundated times with people calling in or asking questions, but I will always try and get back to you as fast as I can. If you got any questions, yes, regarding crystals, I still tell people certain ones that they should be drawn to, or if they deal with anxiety or what else, I'll give you a prescription of what to use. And because again, I still use them in my practices.
That's
and
amazing.
How they amplify things and how they are meant for us, you know, use that energy, but you just got to open yourself up to that, but also of who you are, which is your I Am, your presence.
Yes.
Once you use both, it's just amazing how things work.
It's just beautiful. And I can't thank you enough for coming on my podcast and telling me your story, because this is, you're fascinating. And I'm enamored with your story. So thank you so much again, Rodney.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, I love providing because I want to know at no cost. So if you like what you heard, please leave me a 5-star review, or you can just buy me a cup of coffee. It's kind of like a Patreon, but you don't have a monthly subscription and you can give whatever you feel led to give. I am a one-woman show and I do all of my scheduling and my interviewing and my editing. So just know your support is so greatly appreciated. And one more thing, I am a paranormal romance novelist, and you can find all of my books on Amazon. Just look up my name. I'm very easy to find. Thank you guys again, and I will see you next week.